This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit on 7 to 9 a.m. Visit us on www.kpulpit.co.za.
Voice of Change Time with myself, Lauren Jacobs. It's Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m., your daily companion. And I'm so, so excited to be with you tonight. It's going to be an inspiring show. Because you know what? I know that sometimes in life we can be dealing with hopelessness, or we're looking at things like maybe the hardships of this year, coronavirus, or we're looking at, you know, things like the elections, wondering what's happening, what's going on, what about our own country? Tonight's guests are two inspiring individuals who are doing things out in the heart of Africa, and inspiring stories of hope and beauty and change, and are going to be sharing with us their journeys, their examples, and their lessons and stories that they can share with us from out of the heart of Congo. Now, when we think of the DRC, as we often call it out here in South Africa, we think of the stories that we hear in the media, the stories of violence, and we see the protests which have just happened just a few weeks ago. We see so many terrorist attacks, almost, you know, people being kidnapped and rape and violence. We see these things and we hear these stories, almost so much so that there is this inherent fear in people when they hear the word DRC or Congo. And it's just this reality. People hear it and they go, wow, I don't want to go there. Or is there anything to go there for? Or why would someone want to travel to Congo? You must be crazy. Well, tonight's guests, Ryan Carter and Papia Ryan, are going to be sharing with us everything that we need to know about Congo from the ground. They have been there. Papi is a Congolese. Ryan has traveled so many times to Congo, and they have been embarking on an incredible adventure, a journey, and a project that I'm going to be sharing with you all about. This Kitoko Oyo is what it's called, and we're going to be talking about it in the show tonight. Now, these are two individuals that well know the challenges of what life is like in Congo and what is, you know, seeing the people there and what people are dealing with. But there is also so much that they want to share with us, that they need to share with us, and are going to share with us tonight, that's going to change a little bit of our perception and a bit of our narrative when it comes to DRC. And this is really a God-inspired show tonight, as well as two individuals who have been led on a God-led adventure to discover beauty and hope in the stories of Congo. You do not want to go anywhere. We're going to be inspired tonight. So stay with me, enjoy some music, and they'll be with me when we get back. It's going to be such a great time on Voice of Change tonight, because I'm joined by Papi and Ryan, whom I'm introduced to you in right at the beginning of the show. So Ryan, welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
I'm well, thanks, Lauren. Thank you so much for having us. It's such a privilege and honor to be here, and we're excited to talk with you.
And Papi, how are you doing? It's so good to have you with us, Ryan. And Papi, how are you doing all the way out in Germany today?
Oh, thank you, Lauren. It's such a pleasure to be on your show. It's been a long time coming. So I'm very, very excited to be here, and thank you for having us.
Absolutely. It has been a long time coming, and that is why I'm just super excited to have both of you, who are very legendary in my eyes, on the show on Voice of Change tonight. So, Papi, I really want to start with you, because I know that you are living in Germany, as I said, but you are from Congo and your heart is so deeply connected to your homeland and to your nation of Congo. And so we know that just last month we saw a lot of things happening in Congo. We saw thousands of women protesting. We saw so many of them protesting and people getting involved, talking about, you know, the lack of justice that's happening in Congo and things like sexual violence or problems that are happening with regards to rape. We saw, you know, Nobel Peace Prize laureate Dr. Denis Mukwege, who's been receiving these death threats. And we see like a lot of these things that happen in the Congo. It's what the news always reports on. We know that. But ultimately, you know, while we watch this, we also realize that so many people are wanting hope and so many people are wanting change. But when you see all of this happening, you know, like I said, with these protests, with things happening, what do you feel, you know, what is your response or your thoughts on this? Because obviously it must affect you in some way, because like I said, I know that your heart is so for Congo. So what's been really your feeling? What's really have you been hearing? Because obviously as well, you know, you obviously hear different things from the media as opposed to what's happening in people that are living there. So what's been your thoughts and your feelings and your response to all of this?
Yeah, thank you, Lauren, for the question. Yeah, for me, when anything comes about Congo, I'm first of all reminded that I'm Congolese, as you said. I was born there and raised there. My family still live there. But I'm also reminded about sexual violence, because that is actually very personal to me, because I saw my sister as a kid. I saw my sister being raped, and unfortunately, we lost her to the consequences of rape. And so, when I see situation, what is happening right now with the pop protests and what has happened to Denis Mukwege, it triggers something in my spirit. And basically, the people of Congo, they're very tired of what is happening. I mean, it's been 20 years, of a population that has been bruised, that has been shaken by 2 decades of conflict. We even, in some cases, we talk about genocide. Actually, what triggered the entire protest was about the mapping reports, which was brought out by the UN in 2010. And inside this report was a 617 incidents that are considered to be a crime against humanity committed in the DRC till the year 2013. And that was including the sexual violence is crime that's still taking place today. And I think what is happening right now as we speak, as I speak to you, according to the American Journal of Public Health, 1,200 women are raped every day. You can rape since the war started. Rape is being used as a weapon of war, and is used to destabilize the community, to humiliate the Congolese community. Rape is used to destroy the Congolese family and the country at large. And also, rape is used to chase the people living in rich mineral land and out of the land so that they can explore that land. And if you refuse to move out of that land, then the women in the family are forced to be raped. And that create a stigma once a woman is raped. A stigma, the whole community, considers as if it was her fault that she got raped. And also, we know that in Africa, a woman is the backbone of the society. And if you want to destroy the entire society, then you touch a woman. So basically, that is what is happening to Congo. The people that are committing these crimes, impunity, the people that are also committing economical crime in Congo, they're using rape as a weapon of war. And I can also say Congo is considered by international standard as the rape capital of the world. And when you hear that, you're like, wow, this is crazy. So my feeling with what is happening is like, yes, we need to stand for what is happening. And this is what happened to Dr. Mukwege. He stood against the violence taking place. And unfortunately, the people, the perpetrators, they don't want anyone to stand against that. And if you do that, then they will come against you and they want to kill you. And that's why Mukwege, his life was in danger and is being protected by the UN peacekeepers right now. But the Congolese population is saying enough is enough. We are standing for what is right. Anything which is against our women, our community, our country, our well-being, we're standing against that. And so that's why they took to the street and say, we want Mukwege to be protected. We want our women to be protected. And we're going to do everything it takes in order to protect our people.
This is so incredible, and thank you so much for, sharing as well what happened with your family and also this reality that we hear of, 1,200 women raped every day is a number that I think that maybe our minds are not absolutely able to grasp when we think about it, because it is so many women every single day experiencing this. And like you said, people finally, you know what, I think for a long time have been saying enough is enough. And hopefully this is going to result in some sort of change. And that's obviously really what we are hoping for. Now, Ryan, I want to ask you, I know that, you know, you are quite an eclectic mix because you are Australian, married to an American, living in the Ukraine with a big heart for Congo, which is very, very interesting. And obviously, although yourself and Pappy, you look different, when you put you side to side, you're like brothers. So you have this incredible heart for Congo and also for the people of Congo. But where did this begin? You know, where did this journey begin? Because exactly what Pappy has been sharing is a lot of what we hear outside of the country as well. So for people going to visit Congo, it may seem a little bit nerve-wracking or a little bit scary in some ways to think, oh, all these things are happening, I'm going there. But you've been to Congo so many times, you have a love for this nation. And so tell us a little bit about that journey, you know, being someone that was not born there, someone that has gone there, and tell us a bit about this journey and what have you been experiencing just for this love that you carry for the people as well.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, I'm a bit of a mixed bag where it comes to where I'm from and who I am these days. My whole identity is kind of interesting, I guess, to say the least. But I first actually didn't know much about Congo until I met Pappy. I met Pappy in about 2011 in Sweden and heard his story. He shared his story. He spoke about where he'd come from, what he'd experienced in his life and his way out and how God had dealt with him and met him and the changes that God made in his life and where he's at now. And he invited me to go to Congo. I'm a photographer and he's a videographer, and he was going back and he said, come along and get some pictures. And I'm like, okay, that sounds great. let's do it. And that's kind of where it started. But all this stuff that Puppy's just shared, that was what was in my mind before I went to Congo. I had the only idea I had of Congo he had shared with me and what I'd read online or heard in the news. And unfortunately, that is all negative. Even like it wasn't long ago, I was just looking online on Google News and typed in Congo. And I had to scroll through about 4 pages of articles before I find anything remotely positive about Congo. And that's just sad that a country has that much negativity coming out of the media about it all the time. And so I remember flying there the first time, kind of terrified, actually, not knowing what I was getting myself into. This is my first trip to Africa, and here I am going straight into the heart of it, right into Congo. And I got there and was just dumbfounded, I guess, the way that everything I experienced was so different to everything I had read beforehand. And you know, I don't want to minimalize the problems, because, yes, there are these issues that Puppy shared about that are going on and that need to change, and we need to bring about change for that. But at the same time, the people are so friendly, so full of joy, so happy. The country is spectacular. The natural beauty that is there, and then you mix that in with the beauty of the people and the place, and it's just such an experience that you can't let go of, I guess. And I think that's, for me, where I had that. I had that experience there for, I think, about 10 days or 2 weeks that first time I was there, and I couldn't let that experience go. I wanted to be back. I wanted to go back. I wanted to know more and talk with Puppy, and we do more together, plan more together. And here we are. My first trip was in 2014, so 6 years later, and I've been back multiple times. And each time I go back, I experience the same things of beauty there, of wonderful people. And, you know, people's personal stories there are hard. There's a lot of them, like Puppy's story as well. Everyone's has the conflict that's been ongoing and rape and violence is a part of everybody's story, but it's not the end of everybody's story. And when you hear these stories, you hear stories of hurt, stories of pain, but then the immense beauty of healing and restoration that comes from these people that are just so resilient. Like I've never met people as resilient. I couldn't imagine having to go through life having experienced a lot of the stuff that they've experienced, and yet to be there and to still see the joy and see the healing they've been able to find and see them moving on with their life, it's such a powerful thing to me. And it's really spoken to me, and it's taught me so much. And just to be able to have experienced that and seen that and to keep going back and meeting these people and forming real relationships with people there it's something special to experience the resilience and the just the amazing Congolese people, I guess. I don't really know how to describe it. It's something that has just sort of captivated me, and I just want to keep going back and hearing more and experiencing more and understanding as much as I can more about the culture and the people and the history and as much as anything about the future of where they're headed and what the future does hold. You know, we do believe for a radiant future for Congo, and to be able to see aspects of that even now through the pain, through what's going on, but to be able to see some of that beauty and the good things ahead for Congo, and that's special for me. So that's kind of what's captivated me about Congo and helps me to keep going back.
It's so incredible what both of you are actually sharing as I listen to both of you speaking. You know, the passion and the heart and the love and the connection that I hear, obviously, in both of your lives and in your hearts for Congo. And it's so moving, really, when I listen to everything that you're sharing. And also, Ryan, what you said about, you know, the joy that you see in people that have been through so much. And Papi, I experience it with you as well, just this radiance and this love of life as well. And also just what you shared about the natural beauty of Congo. Now, that's not something that we often think about, right? It's not something that we think that, oh, Congo is this most beautiful place. But you have these incredibly beautiful places all over Congo. You have that amazing, I think it's the rainforest where the gorillas are. It's one of the places in the world that I'm always looking at online, actually, that runs across the borders. And it's so beautiful. And that's not something that people think about. And now, Ryan, I know you've taken some photos as well. And Papi, you've done some video as well on the natural beauty of some of the lakes and some of the places about Congo. Now tell us a little bit about, you know, if we went there, now I'm going a little bit into a bit of a tourist area, but if we went to visit Congo, tell us a little bit about the natural beauty. And any one of you can answer this question, because there's just so much natural beauty in Congo and we don't think about it.
Yeah. So Lauren, yeah, that is very true. And you know, when you bring this question up, I'm actually springing out and I'm full of goosebumps, because I know how beautiful Congo is. As a Congolese, I also didn't realize this beauty. And also because of all the news I heard from the major news outlets of the world, they don't really tell these stories, because these stories don't sell the story of beauty and the stories of hope. So and this is why while I was outside of Congo, I didn't really think of Congo being this beautiful, beautiful country, one of the most beautiful country. Not knowing that Congo is got the second largest rainforest in the world, only the second only after the Amazon. We have the last deposits of mountain gorillas in the Virunga National Park, and we have the biggest lava lake in the world, and the second longest Congo River after the Amazon. So there is a lot of beauty found in Congo in terms of visiting and in terms of natural beauty, and I personally think that everyone should care about what is happening in Congo, especially us as African people on the African continent, because also Congo is the heart of Africa. And we know ourselves, if the heart is sick, you know, the whole body is in pain.
The Bible is full of stories about bold girls of faith, stories that portray bravery, strength, and commitment to Christ at the center of what it means to be a girl. In her latest children's book, Bold Bible Girls, award-winning author Lauren Jacobs tells the stories of lesser-known girls of the Bible who displayed remarkable bravery and strength. With a blend of storytelling and devotional themes, this special book is a gift for all young visionaries and bold girls of faith. To place your order now, visit laurenjacobs.co.za.
You're back with me, Lauren Jacobs, here on Radio K Pulpit. It's Voice of Change time, and we are talking really about the beauty of Congo. Now, Papi, you and Ryan are doing some amazing things, a project called Kitoko Oyo, which means the beauty of Congo. And you want to really show the world all about a different narrative of Congo. It's a necessary one, a true one, and one that people need to hear. So what is it that you guys are doing? What is this amazing project that you've been embarking on for some time and that you're still, you know, involved with and that's going to come out for the world to see, I believe, in the near future? Tell us a bit about Kitoko Oyo.
Yeah, Kitoko Oyo, you've already said, meaning this beauty, is a Lingala word, which is one of the languages spoken in Congo. This beauty, the quiet strength of Congo, the hidden beauty that you really don't see on a news. Nobody tells you about this beauty. We decided, Ryan and I, while working in Congo, we have worked on other projects, and we were seeing that the country and the people of Congo were being portrayed. And then we sat there and meditated, really. And we decided we want to tell a different narrative. There is that narrative that people don't hear of. And that was to start showing, to start discovering the beauty of Congo and showing it to the world. And so we decided to come up with an idea of photography book and a documentary which will highlight the most amazing things that are being done by young Congolese and the beautiful places that we can be able to visit in Congo. I believe also Ryan will share more on that. But also we brought in a lot of young Congolese with the same vision, that are wanting to really end this narrative of representing Congo as a war-stricken country and as savages killing one another. Mm. And then also, as we prayed about this project, the word which was coming was hope. And if we don't sell this hope, the young generation that is coming is only going to see this image of Congo and they don't want to live here. And we decided this is what, if we sell hope, these young people will see that our country is also beautiful. We can develop this country. This person is doing something positive. I can also do the same. And so, yeah, that is briefly the idea of Kitoko Oyo. And I believe Ryan is going to share something on that as well.
Mm. I love this, what you're talking about. Ryan, what has been, you know, behind, you've been standing behind the camera, you've been taking the photos, so you've been, you know, capturing so much beauty for everybody to see out in Congo. Tell us a bit about your experience and what's in your heart with Kitoko Oyo.
Yeah, I guess I was just thinking, like, your radio station, Voice of Change, that's really what we want to be. Like, we want Kitoko Oyo to be a voice of change for Congo. And we've started to see that we now, last time we were there, we had kids running down the street yelling Kitoko Oyo after us. And this phrase that wasn't really used so much is now being heard everywhere. And it's starting to create this movement. And it is a voice of change where people are passionate about beauty. Instead of, you know, people get worked up about violence and about politics. We've seen politics in just the last couple of weeks with elections and stuff like that. And how passionate people get and how fired up people get and how excited and angry and whatever, that these emotions that come out through negative things. And we really wanted to be that voice of change and bring that different narrative that Congolese people can get fired up and emotional and excited and passionate about the beauty in their country, about whether it's natural beauty, whether it's Virunga National Park, whether it's like the volcano there, whether it's the lakes, whatever that beauty is, there's so much there that they can be proud of. And if we can help to highlight some of that for themselves, they can also then show that out. And like Puppy said, we've got these other young photographers and videographers doing things as well now and showing these stories and the beauty, not just the natural beauty, but the beauty of the people. And I think that's so key. That's where the hope is really coming from, is the beauty of the people and to be able to see what Congo and what Congolese people are capable of, and the potential there is huge. Like, we've talked to people in the diaspora who left 20 years ago in the war and have been scared to come back ever since. And there was two American guys who came last time we were there, and they rode out their wheels before they came because they didn't think they'd come back. And to be able to be there with them and show them that, hey, it's not all bad here, and there's so much potential here, and they got so excited and so passionate and so encouraged by that. And I think that's part of what Kitoko Oyo is. It's for the Congolese people themselves. I remember for me, I came into this thinking, this is going to be great to show the world that Congo is beautiful. And I've been blown away by how it's been taken on by Puppy, led by Puppy as a Congolese, and then through the local Congolese people that we know personally there, but then through social media and online and other people in Congo, the word of mouth has just spread that it's something that the Congolese people, the country, the nation can get behind and can be positive about and they can be proud of. This is highlighting the most beautiful, one of the most beautiful countries on earth, and the potential that's there for both, you know, natural beauty, tourism, things like that, but also for business, for entrepreneurs, for small business and ideas is really amazing. And we've been able to highlight some amazing people doing really, really amazing, courageous, inventive stuff that is really changing the face of Congo. And I think that's Kitoko Oyo for me is that holistic view of beauty and being able to show that and give a narrative that isn't negative and give Congolese people, whether they're in Germany like Puppy, whether they're in Congo, whether they're in the States, wherever they are, maybe South Africa, but they can be proud of who they are and proud of what they have and give that as also, like Puppy said, the heart of Africa, but that also flows out. I think there's so much beauty right throughout Africa like this that can be shown, and hopefully this can be even a movement that can spread beyond Congo into neighboring countries, down into South Africa, and where we don't need to talk about negativity, we don't need to talk about the bad politics, we don't need to talk about whatever the current situation is. We can start being more positive, talking about beauty, talking about what God has given these nations and how we can highlight that, and I think that's a pretty special thing we can do.
You know what's incredible as well is that as I've watched you guys journey through this and going into different places, God has really blessed both of you, because the last time that you were in Congo, you know, before coronavirus and everything, you know, you were speaking to some people that were like governors and people in high positions of power and people that are really having their eyes open, but also getting super excited about Kitoko Oyo themselves and saying that, yes, this is something that we want to get behind. So, Ryan, I think it was so incredible what you shared, you know, having gone into this and thinking, we're going to showcase, you know, kind of Congo and show this beauty to the world. But possibly it's even, you know, showing the beauty of Congo to its own people. Because I think sometimes when we're in a nation, I know for me as a South African, we can get a bit down about the things that are happening in our own country. And we can go, oh, there's so much nonsense happening. And then we start to look beyond our borders for hope. You know, we go, okay, well, I'm going to immigrate to there, or I'm going to go there because there's so much stuff happening. But to show us the beauty of our own nations and our own country, especially here in Africa where we have so much, you know, it's so important. And Papi, is that something that you have seen as well? Because like I said, you guys met with so many key leaders of not only communities but of the, you know, huge areas in Congo, which is so incredible for me to witness as well.
Yeah, certainly we have what we have seen throughout this time ever since we started Kitoko, it just been tremendous blessing, and it's not really because of our creativity, but because of really the kind of doors that God has opened for us, all the spheres of society. And you talk about last time when we went there, you know, really God opening the doors to meet the president of the country, the current president, and also forming a personal friendship with the governor of the province. Is not just because we are so good at our art, it's because really the hope and the strength of God that we carry with us. And as we go deeper, you know, meeting a young kid on the street who started his own business and really highlighting that business and putting that on the same level as someone who's a politician who has been successful and really, you know, bringing justice and really measuring all of these two as a success stories. And I think really that's how God look at it. And as people really see that, even the lowest of the lowest, they see us and they call the Kitoko people, the biggest politician, the richest man in town, say, the Kitoko people are here. How can I help you guys? And just been amazing, and this is what we want to see in Congo and actually in the whole of Africa, that the strong man is no longer the one who's just going to be powerful and go over the little guy, but we're going to live in a society where everyone is considered and everybody can contribute to the development of the country. And are we seeing that coming slowly in Congo, where young people are going forward, they're engaging in politics, they're engaging in issues affecting the society? And this, for me, that's what we call beauty. Beauty out of ashes.
I love that as well. And it seems that, you know, the hope as well lies in the youth of our nations as well. And I think so much so in Congo, I have seen also so many young people being voices, speaking up, being the people that are going to be change makers. And I think that that's so critical and so important. And, you know, Ryan, the final question I want to ask you is, you know what, I guess it's going to be an open-ended question I'm going to throw out to you, but it's just going to be, is there hope? You know, a lot of people say, oh, well, look, there's all this stuff that's going on and it's a bit bad. And, you know, like we started off at the beginning of the show saying, oh, there's these protests and there's these big issues and there's these human rights violations. What is the hope and is there hope?
There is definitely hope. I think as soon as we lose hope, then we lose life itself, I think. And there's just... hope is for everyone. Like, I know we have made some amazing connections with governors and stuff like that there, but I think it's really the little people on the street, the normal everyday people like ourselves who really carry that hope. And I think for me, that's where I have seen potential and I myself have become full of hope for Congo, is just in the people in the street, like the people that I meet when we're out in a village somewhere taking photos, who are hospitable, who are so positive, they dance, they're full of joy. And I think that's where the hope is coming from. I think there is something inherent in the Congolese people that have joy and hope there. And as much as they have had pain and there is stuff that needs to be dealt with, which we've touched on that already, that does need to go through that process. And hopefully we can find justice and hopefully they can find healing through all that. But hope is definitely there. And like you said, the population of Congo is very young. I think it's something like 50% of the population is under the age of 15. But loosely, that's about the statistic. And that younger generation is the generation that is adventurous, the generation that at this age, they don't have the fear, they don't have the preconceived ideas of what's possible and what isn't, but they do have hope. They already have hope and they can believe for the future. And I think that's where change comes. And I can see that throughout Africa, not just Congo. It is hope in the young generation, people who are wanting and able now to stand up and say, hey, we want to have change. We've seen what's happened to our parents, to our grandparents. We've seen what happened in the past. And that's not right for us. That's not good. That's not healthy. That's not blessing. We want hope. We want hope for our future generations. And we're going to make a stand and we're going to stand up for ourselves. And we're going to move forwards in this and we're going to start businesses. We're going to get into politics. We're going to create beauty, whether that's through art, through music, through dance. But there's that hope that is there, that is building, I think. And I sense that when I'm in Congo, this real growth of that at a real sort of grassroots level, to be able to meet people who are hopeful. And that really fills me with excitement, I think.
That's incredible.
Hope is so important.
I love the fact that you mentioned dancing. Now, I was not sure how to throw this dancing thing in there. But, you know, I've seen so many of the videos that you guys have shared. And what I love about the Congolese people is that they just can dance so really good, Papi. You guys just can dance. And that makes me just want to go and visit because I love dancing. I love to just, you know what, you guys are just like breaking it down in the street. You know, people are just getting involved and everybody's just dancing. And I'm thinking that, you know, dance is such a beautiful expression of hope as well. And it's such a beautiful expression of joy, you know. And when it's just inside of you, it's just like it comes out and everybody's dancing. It's so incredible. And I want to say, you know what, Papi, are you a dancing man? Do you like dancing, getting involved in all that dancing things?
I think Papi lives to dance.
Okay, that's true. He has said it right. Yeah.
It's so incredible.
Yeah, I love
every time I see those videos and everybody's dancing, it's so contagious. And it makes me want to go to Congo. Like, it makes me want to
travel. You probably have seen me in one of them.
I have. And you just come, you know, easing in there and just start breaking it down. It's so incredible. So I want to say thank you to both of you. It's been such a blessing to have this time with both of you, to not only be, you know, hearing about everything that you've had to share, but also to be learning, to be this side and to be learning and to be filled with hope as well. Because we all here in Africa, we need hope. We need hope for our continent. We need hope for our nations. We need hope that things can turn around, and we're really trusting for that. And so, Papi, if anybody wants to, you know, follow along on social media, wants to know more about Kitoka Oyo, how can they do that? Do you have social media places they can follow?
Yeah. Before I give that, can I quickly say something on hope real quick?
Yes, go for it.
Yeah, so adding on hope for me, I know there is hope, just as Ryan said, because personally, I left Congo when I was a small kid and flee to South Africa. You know, I worked for 2.5 years, mm-hmm. and I got to South Africa. I went through a lot of obstacle, crocodile-infested rivers, and I ended up on the street of Cape Town. And because of that hope, I was able to, you know, I'm here where I am today. Really, God protected me through all these obstacles, and I managed to go back to Congo, and right now I'm showing the help from a street kid, from a child soldier to street kid to someone who's talking with the president. So that has been my life and hope that have guided me throughout this journey. Yeah, in terms of social media, yes, we very, very engaged in social media. We have the Kitoka Oyo Instagram, @Kitoka_Oyo, and then we have Focus Congo @FocusCongo, and you can go on our website www.kitoka_Oyo.com. That's where you can find our information.
Thank you so much, Papi, and thank you so much for what you shared about hope and also touching on your own story. And I think that that's a story we need to get you back and share sometime as well. You know, that's a story of hope as well. And thank you so much for sharing. Ryan, any final words from you? And would you like people to connect with you? You share some amazing photos, not only just of, you know, Congo, but some personal things and some different places you've been all over the world. It's so incredible to see your amazing photos and your journeys. So tell us how we can also follow you on social media.
Yeah, thanks, Lauren. It's been great to connect with you again and to talk, and we appreciate that. And yeah, I do travel a lot and get to visit some amazing places and take pictures and share stories of hopefully places that not everyone gets to go to, and tell stories that we don't often hear. So please follow me. Mostly I'm active on Instagram @RyanCarterImages, and follow me along there, send me a message, and yeah, please enjoy the pictures and the stories that we share, and connect with us through Kitoka Oyo, of course, as well, like Papi shared. And we'd love to get more South Africans involved in what we're doing.
That'd be really great. Definitely. And hopefully when you guys come visit us out in South Africa, people can connect with you up here. If they have some amazing projects that they want to have filmed or photographed, Papi and Ryan do that as well. So connect with them on social media. And again, guys, thank you so much for being here on Voice of Change. It has been such a phenomenal time. And I really pray all the best over everything that you're doing. It's so incredible to hear. And also blessings over your families and everything that you're going to be doing in the next couple of months, all the travels next year that I'm trusting God for with you all. And may you just be blessed and blessed in abundance. Thank you so much again, and take care.
Thanks, Lauren.
Thank you, Lauren.
Hello, I am Dr. Marius Skalakam. Join us every Monday afternoon at 4:15 for our Abu Bible Counseling Program. You will also have the opportunity to ask your questions or send them to the studio via WhatsApp. Start with the word Abu, A-B-B-O, and your question. Mondays, 4:15 on Radio Cape Pulpit, 729 AM.
Come live the life with Radio Cape Pulpit on 729 AM.
What's always incredible to me as someone who has been a journalist for many years is how important our stories are and the pictures that we paint, the journalism that we tell, the media that we get involved with, and the stories that we tell to people that as journalists, we have such a responsibility. And we know, just like we heard now with Pappy and Ryan, we heard them saying, you know what, stories of violence, that's what sells, but stories of hope and beauty don't really sell. But tonight we have celebrated beauty and hope on the show on Voice of Change. And I pray that you have been touched to know that there is beauty and hope in Africa. Yes, I know it's easy to get downcast about things. It's easy to look at hopelessness and get sucked into that. But no, there is hope. And as you have heard from them, I feel as though there were so many lessons and so much passion that they shared with us tonight, that we can only hope to take that passion away with us and to go out into the world, even into our own nation, and proclaim the good things that we see, the good things we see in one another, the good things we see in the people, and to know that there is hope and that we can be resilient and that we can be joyful, even though people out in the DRC, out in Congo, have experienced so much hardship, still they can have so much joy and resilience and faith. And it's incredible. Let us continue to pray for this continent of Africa, for the nations on this continent, for the people out on this continent. And you know what? Let us pray that the heart of Africa can be healed and that every single person on this nation can be blessed to receive from that heart. It has been so good to be with you. Pappy and Ryan gave out their socials so you can go and follow them. And you know what? Just be inspired by the incredible photography that they're involved in, the incredible projects that they're involved in, the incredible videography that Pappy does. Go and, you know what, just celebrate Congo with them, celebrate Africa with us. And you know what, I know that sometimes we get to this point where people are always thinking, oh, I want to leave Africa, it's all messed up. But God is the God of redemption, He's the God of beauty. Let us not stop praying and believing for a better day for the whole of Africa and for all the people in this continent. It's been so good to be with you on Voice of Change. See you next week and have a blessed evening.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit on 729 AM. Visit us on www.kpulpit.co.za.